2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. I'd like to focus on a thought entitled Profitable Observations. Profitable Observations. The Apostle Paul addresses the Corinthians with a very serious admonition here. And it's very serious for these believers, and many of these come out of deep, deep sin. He lists some sins in one place, that saying, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And he listed those sins, fornication, adultery, effeminate, and on down the list. But then Paul says to those same people, "But such were some of you."
That's right.
"But now you're washed, you're sanctified, you're clean." He's talking to some people that really, probably others would look at them and say, "Surely these would never be saved. Surely these could never come to a mark of righteousness and godliness." But God reached His loving, graceful, passionate hand further down than they could reach up, and He lifted them up out of the quagmire of sin, set their feet on the highway of holiness and righteousness. But now Paul wants to come to them and bring a serious note here. Make sure you're in Christ.
Amen.
Make sure that you're not just feeling little goosebumps on you when you're at church because the presence of the Lord is moving around you. But make sure His Spirit is living inside of you.
Come on, bro.
Come on. It's a very serious thought for these people, for Him to write this letter to them, to deal with them like that. Why didn't Paul just say, "God's good, thank God you're saved," and go on about His business? But he says, examine yourselves. And what brings the seriousness so relevant and real tonight is that even what he said to the Corinthians, it's been ordained for you and I tonight too. Because we accept this as Scripture and the Word of God. And Paul told Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for our instruction, for our exhortations, our building us up in the kingdom of God and His good righteousness. So when Paul says to the Corinthians to examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith or not, know whether Jesus Christ is living inside of you, lest you become reprobates, he's talking to Dennis Morgan too. God is talking to Dennis Morgan through the man of God here, and he's talking to Pastor Ray Priest tonight, and if I could name everybody's name in the room tonight, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Examine. Put the spotlight of God's Word. Not the spotlight of how you feel. I can feel pretty good and still not be all right.
That's right.
I've had maybe flu or something, and maybe through the course of the sickness have a good feeling about me and think, "Wow, it's time to get up and go back to work or something." But then I begin to realize that virus is still inside of me. I'm not completely got rescued from it. So you might come to the Lord's house tonight. You may feel the presence of the Lord. You may enjoy the singing. You may enjoy the preaching. A testimony may go forth that really, really inspires you. You may feel the blood of that, but that doesn't mean that everything is all right.
Come on, bro.
Paul called on them to examine themselves. I thought of the thought tonight to call this message profitable observations. We all understand what the word profitable means. It means there's gain there. There's good there. We're going to make something out of this. It's going to be a plus for us. And observation just simply is the act of observing or taking notice. Isn't it strange how that a little lack of observation causes us to miss something sometimes? Just a little lack of observation. My wife, I trust she won't mind me sharing this because it's history now. But she wore a black dress somewhere here the other day, and we went to church, wasn't it, or to a prison service, and I didn't think nothing about it, and she didn't either because she didn't observe it. But when she got on the way home or somewhere in the course of things or too late to go home and change shoes, she looked down and observed that she had on blue shoes with her black dress. Now, me and folks, we don't get bothered about things like that, do we? And it don't bother me if I had blue shoes and black pants. I might get bothered because she bothered me about it. But I do try to match up pretty good. But women, folks, this is out of kilter for the woman. I think it's just, they don't do things like that. I've got on blue shoes with this black dress. Well, I didn't know it. And sure enough, we're preaching to 100-something men in a prison house. I'm sure they probably didn't notice it either. Had we been at a women's prison, she'd probably been in a tie. But all it would have took was for her to do a careful observation before she walked out of the door.
Right.
It's not that difficult to notice when something's out of line. Had I had doubt as bad as I did a couple of weeks ago, I'd probably have a house shoe on one foot and a dress shoe on the other foot. I knew it was that way, but a lot of folks never noticed where we went and preached at different places because they did not observe.
That's right.
How simple it would be to look inside of your own heart tonight.
Come on now.
And do a little inspecting, a little profitable observation to see if there's something that God may be looking at differently than what you're looking at. God looks at us through eyes of compassion.
Yep.
He does look at us through eyes of love, but He's also an eye of God of judgment. And He looks at us and He knows what He's talked to us about. He knows what He's moved on us about. He knows what He's taught us in His Word. He knows we've heard the Word. He knows we've heard the preaching. And God expects us to do a little profitable examination,
right,
profitable observation, because He wants to hold us, and He wants to embrace us, and He wants to love us.
Yeah.
But if there's disobedience inside of us, we put a wall between us and God's good compassion, and it ain't going to work out. Profitable observation. When He said there in the end of that verse, lest except ye be reprobates. A reprobate is one that has missed the mark, putting it in simple terms. One that knew what to do, but they would not do it. One that knew what was right, but did not do what was right. The Family Bible notes put it this way, except your faith is dead. Your hopes vain and your religion worthless. I'd hate to parade a faith that was dead.
Come on.
I'd hate to deliver, show forth unto people a faith that was vain, a hope that was vain, and a religion that is worthless. A testimony that has nothing in effect toward those that are listening to it. I want to know that my faith is alive.
Amen. Amen.
And it not only moves me, but it moves those who observe my faith.
Come on.
It moves those who I witness to. It moves those who I commune with. It is alive. And when I talk of heaven, I'm talking about a hope that is real. A hope that is full. Yes. And it's so real, I can almost feel myself walking on streets of gold. As I begin to think about the glories of this hope. As I begin to think about seeing Jesus face to face. Coming to an end of faith where no longer faith is needed because it ends inside of Him. Coming to a place where I see Him as He is. Almost can taste it. Almost can hear Jesus smell the heavenly breeze and it blow and feel it. When I think of the blessed hope that I have in Jesus Christ, it is full. It is real. It is powerful tonight. It keeps me up in the morning.
Yeah.
It moves throughout the day. It keeps me up lay down in peace. The hope I have is real.
Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Preach on.
Glory to God. My faith is alive. I'm not an epiphany. I do examination when I kneel and seek God. I don't just do it once a week. I don't do it just at revival time. I do it in private devotion. I have a time when I get alone with God. And I say, God, search me. As the psalmist David said, there's nothing more to take it up with God and making sure that everything is all right. Know that my faith is alive. My hope is full. And my religion, that profession of faith that I have, it is worth it. Praising God.
Amen, amen, amen. Glory, glory. Blessing, Lord,
it is worth walking up to somebody and saying, look, Jesus is my Lord. He is my refuge. He is my everything. Oh, boy, what kind of religion you got? Well, I ain't really got no religion. I got salvation. But folks call it religion. And it's worth.
Yeah,
it's worth more than silver and gold you can find upon this earth. It's worth more than anything in this world has to offer. It's worth all the riches of humanity. I'm not one that lost my way, lost out, deceived in thinking I'm all right and I'm okay. Examine me, O Lord, the psalmist said, and prove me, try my reins and my heart.
Come on.
Try my desires, try my heart. If I could tonight, if I could pull you into this picture that I'm fixing to paint and place ourselves in this to make sure we are where God wants us to be.
Amen. Amen.
To examine ourselves. Brother, are you saying tonight somebody might not be there? The Spirit of God searches the hearts.
That's right. That's right.
And you don't have a gathering anywhere anymore very seldom where there's not somebody there God's wanting to talk to.
Come on. Come on.
I was in a Home Depot some time back, a few years ago. How many knows what a Home Depot is? Praise the Lord. How many knows what a Lowe's I'm not talking about a grocery store. Now, they're one and the same, aren't they? But they're different.
That's right.
Lowe's, we don't have one in our town, so we might go to a Home Depot. You ought to be boycotting them. They're supporting homosexuality. There's a lot of things you probably buy that's supporting it and they told you about.
That's right.
So I don't know whether to boycott what. We might have to boycott to speak it in our sink at the house because somebody working with the water department may be a pervert.
Yep, come on.
And buying perverted things with the money they make off of your tax dollars that's paying their salary.
Come on.
But if you feel like boycotting somebody, go ahead and do it the best you can. But remember, that probably ain't the only one you need to boycott.
Come on.
We may have to go move out in the field and grow everything ourselves.
Yep.
Milk our own cows and make our own cotton and do everything like the old folks years ago did. To keep from supporting something that we don't want to. Anyway, I was in there, and this was several years ago, and there's a couple come walking down the aisle there, and it was amusing to me. They were frantically looking for something they couldn't find. They was needing to do some home remodeling or such. And the guy that's in Home Depot, and the man said, "I thought we was in Lowe's." He couldn't find what he's hunting because he's in the wrong place looking for it. Examine yourself.
That's right. That's right.
You may be looking for something inside of you that's not there. And that's the purpose of examination.
That's right.
So that God can put it there.
Come on.
But it was amusing. He said, "I thought we was in Lowe's." And his wife was behind him with a bewildered look. She said, "I thought we was where we was." She thought she was at Home Depot, which she was.
Yeah.
And the thought of that, Lord, how many people in the spiritual realm thinks they're where they would rather be, thinks they're at Lowe's. Spiritually speaking, Lowe's was the preferred store for this man. I want you to get that picture in your mind. Lowe's was the preferred, and I'm not politicking for either one of them, but Lowe's was the preferred lumber place for this individual. And that's where he thought he was. It's strange how that he pulled in a parking lot and saw this big orange roof and all on that building and thought he was walking inside of the Lowe's. He might be colorblind. And orange may look like blue to him. But it's odd how that he missed that. And perhaps maybe she drove and he was asleep and he woke up when he walked in the door. It's strange how I come to the presence of the Lord. Oh, I feel good in my soul.
Come on, that one. Come on.
It's strange how we come to the place of prayer and worship and we think that we are where God wants us to be. We think that we've got everything lined up and so therefore we never ask for God to help us do an inspection. And all we just go to praising Him, we go to glorifying Him, we go to lining up our list of things that we want Him to give and do for us and never consider, I may not be where He can meet my needs.
Come on, come on, brother.
Being the desired place of shopping for this gentleman, he would know where everything was in that store. He was familiar with it. Being where he thought he was, he would know the special things about that store that was familiar to him. You see, he thought he was in a place of familiarity, but when he really got to looking around and trying to find something that he desperately needed, he found out that it wasn't as familiar as he thought it was. When I begin to look inside of my heart and realize that something's not there where I thought it should be, and I thought I was in a familiar place between me and God, I find out that I'm not. I've got to do some adjustments. Here dwell in Him and He in us.
Amen.
Because He hath given us of His Spirit.
Come on.
Is that Spirit that's inside of me identified with the Word of God? Does it identify with the goodness of God? Thinking He's in loaves, He may have looked on the left side of the store for what was on the right side. Thinking He was at Lowe's, He was looking for easy access of help that He could not find. How many have been to Lowe's and you know that if you need help, you got little red buttons on the different aisles, and it says for assistance, push button. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or you didn't observe it, did you? Lowe's used to have that. I don't know if the new ones do or not. But all through the time you're in a Lowe's store, you can hear it saying, assistant needed at the lumber department. Beep, beep, beep. Assistant needed over in electronics, electricity. Beep, beep, electric. Assistant needed in the lawn and garden. I'm thinking, how do they know all that? Somebody pushed a button, and it went to the main deal in the office, and it said off an announcement, assistant needed. So obviously, he's hung the button. He's hung the button in there. This place is not looking like it was the last time I was here. You're right, buddy, but you ain't where you was the last time you called on God. It ain't looking like it used to look when you prayed and called on Him. Because you're not where you was the last time you pushed the button and you asked for God's assistance. You're not where you was. He couldn't find the easy access of help. In Home Depot, obviously, you got to run somebody down. Find that yellow apron on somebody. Orange apron on somebody. They got blue ones on it, those. Easy access. Let us therefore, listen carefully to what the writer told of Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Boldly. Without any embarrassment. Without any shame. Without any reservations that God is honored to hold out His scepter of welcome to me. Coming up in His throne room, God is delighted. There's one of my favorites. Come on in. What do you need? Come on in. Or is it a... He ain't talking to me right. But can you come to God boldly? Without any reservations. Boldly means with full assurance, God's going to meet you.
Amen.
He's going to respond positively to you. Do you ever feel like God's going to respond in a negative way to you? Search your heart. See what the Lord tells you about that. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Profitable observations. Again, in this city, a man walks into a store with a big orange foyer and all up there. And Home Depot, right there, in plain daylight. And he's walking. Saying, I thought I was in Lowe's. Isn't it strange, again, how we come to God and we think everything's all right, but somebody has to shake us, stir us, and say, look, do a little profitable observations and realize
that you're not where you thought you were.
Come on, brother.
He had something in his pocket. I don't have one of those. That's close to blue, that'll have to do. But I'm suspicious. I didn't stop them and ask them, it wasn't none of my business. You know how you'll hear people talking that ain't talking to you and you're just kind of and going about your business, and that's what it is. And I began to listen to the Lord talk to me about this message, and my wife heard it on another level before, different scriptures, but same saints and same illustration. But I'm suspicious that he had a card that had that blue Lowe's logo in his pocket, a gift card. I really think he may have had that. He come in there and you know, I don't have to spend my own money today. I don't have to spend my own expenditures. I've got this gift card. My mom gave it to me for my birthday and I'm going to go get some stuff up in need to work around the house. I'm going to Lowe's. I'm going to take care of this. And he's walking around possibly with that gift card in his pocket. Why do they have orange aprons in here? I've always seen them wearing blue ones. In Lowe's. I've got the gift card of eternal life.
Come on.
In my possession. I've got, so to speak, the gift card of healings in my possession. I've got a gift card of blessings innumerable in my possession. But I cannot cash it in at the wrong place.
Right.
I've got to be at the right place. I can't take it. Let me change things out here.
Praise the Lord.
I didn't use what I got in the pocket there. That's a calling card. I know what that's. Ooh, there it is. Praise the Lord. I got a Walmart gift card. Will they take it in Lowe's? Shout at me, I need some people to go with that, sir. Can I take it down to Hamrick's, down to Gaffney, and buy us some clothing with it? It's good for money, I just pretend it don't have nothing on it, I don't think, but pretend it's got $100 on it. Surely, daughter, that is worth $100, man. Give me one of those special suits on sale. $99.99. Mm-hmm. Walmart. Can I take it to Ross and do business with it, ladies? Can I take it to Kmart? Can I take it to Cracker Barrel? But if I don't go to Walmart, it's no good.
That's right.
Profitable. Observation. He may have had that card in his pocket, but it didn't do him any good because he was not where he thought he was. I've got in my possession, as I've said, everything I need. I've got the Word of God and all God's promises, all God's mercy. But will it do me any good if I try to cash it in a place of complacency? Will I be able to cash it in a place of doubt? Will I be able to cash it in a place of sin that's hid from everybody else but me? Will I be able to cash it in when I'm unfaithful to God? I dare say tonight, I would not be able to cash it in. I have a means of obtaining everything I need from God, but I've got to do some careful, profitable observations and examine myself and know that God is going to be there when I need Him. 2 Peter 1:3 said, according as His divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory
and virtue. Paul said to the Romans, in Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" But I've got to make some adjustments if I'm not where I thought I was. I've got to be willing to question that. That's the hardest thing for humanity to do, is to question, am I where God wants me to be? Oh, are you judging me? And you don't even want to judge yourself.
Come on.
It pays to question yourself.
Amen.
Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why do I feel like I do? Is my enjoyment in church more physical than it is spiritual? I'm fixing to make you love me real good right here. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word.
Come on.
I worked around a young lady years ago that she didn't display herself as a very sacred Christian in some things that she would allow on the work scene. Can y'all understand that without further ado about it?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
She didn't conduct herself as a Christian lady in some things that some of the male employees endeavored to commune with her with. And I thought, you've been testifying so much about church and the law. But she told me something one day that identified where her faith was being built. I'm a singer. I'm a musician. I love singing. I love music. But I love the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that brings me into deep fellowship with God.
Amen. Amen.
She said, "I get more out of the singing than I do out of the preaching." You know what she told me? She said, without saying it with words, she told me with her testimony that you love that can entertain the flesh more than you love that can dig around the roots of your heart.
Come on. Come on.
Oh, my brother, that singing gets to my heart. It does. But singing also gets to your emotions.
Right.
Amen. It don't take long to clap your hands at singing.
Come on now.
I said it don't take long, but it takes some doing to get us to begin to praise the Lord at preaching. Well, that's different. It's a different thing. Preaching is worthy of my worship.
Amen.
That's where I get my faith from. I want to say something, and I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend Brother Ray. Please don't let me offend you this evening. But we've observed in other places, and we really don't think about it. But throughout the country, when we have the birthday song, we'll go clapping with it. And I've observed, you know, that's the same clap that we do when we're singing "I'll Fly Away." You see the catch? It's got a hook, and it's easy to clap with. Because we're used to that. But did you think we was worshiping God, singing happy birthday? We was giving honor to the individual that had the birthday. Thank God for every birthday we have. I said happy birthday this morning. And again, happy birthday. But you see what I'm saying? We didn't observe that. For years we don't observe that, do we? But when we're clapping, when we're worshiping God... So it's another bit of evidence that music can pull on our flesh strings more than the preaching of the Word can. But little have we observed, preaching has also become a great tool of entertainment in our hour, too.
That's right, brother.
All over this country,
People run all over the place to hear certain preachers preach and really not letting the Word of God affect them that he's preaching. And it's not his fault. It's because it's become entertainment. Oh, I'm digging deep.
Come on, go ahead.
Deep place tonight.
Preach on.
Oh, help me, Jesus.
Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord.
Faith cometh by hearing, a little bit of observing. And back to this woman's testimony, she let me know how deep her experience was with God. Through that child of God that is in love with the Lord and that is continually living a life of profitable observation, there's nothing sweeter to us than the Word of God. Give me God's Word above any song I can sing. Give me God's Word.
That's right.
But anybody can sing a song, but only an anointed man of God can preach the Word and bring conviction on hearts. Many men can preach and talk the Word, but when the Holy Ghost is anointing you, it makes a difference.
Amen.
And singing that's got that anointing brings a conviction too.
Amen.
But when I can get more out of singing than I do out of preaching, I'm putting the preaching on the second level.
That's right.
The Word of God is greater. Jesus in the wilderness, tempted 40 days and 40 nights, hungry, that flesh part of him screaming for something to eat. Satan says, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Prove it. He said, hold on a minute. Let me pull up Psalms 119 and sing to you a little bit. He didn't say, let me keep back and give God a good glory. Hallelujah. He said, it is written.
Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God, I've got to get down in the presence of the Lord.
Come on.
I've got to say, Lord, search me. Where is my priorities of life? Where is that moves me most? God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with the God, with God. Oh God, I want to be moved by Jesus Christ. I want to be moved by His Word. I want to be moved by that. Oh God, search me and know me. I don't want to be a reprobate with a dead faith.
Hallelujah.
A vain hope. And a worthless religion. I call unto your submission, unto
unto your obedience. I call for fellowship with you. But you must observe and examine your heart. For I see things, saith the Lord, that you're overlooking, that you really don't want to pay attention to. But they're there, saith the Lord. Without any further ado, without lifting our hands to worship Him, we must consider what the Holy Ghost has spoken and begin to act upon it quickly, quickly. Respond to what the Lord is speaking to your heart. While His good breath is breathing in you, while you have opportunity to rise from your seat and move to a place of profitable observation of the Lord is beckoning you. Come. God's dealing with your heart. The Word of God has pricked your heart tonight. You've got stung tonight. You got uncomfortable with some things that were said. You're going to have to get these things settled with God. Would you move? Would you begin to move out of your pew? God's talking to somebody tonight. He's come. Would you stand all over the place? I have to make it easy for you. Move to this altar tonight. As the Lord's dealing with your heart. As God's dealing with your heart.
Hallelujah.
Saints of God.
Hallelujah.
Somebody needs to pray with
you. Oh, great God.
Lord, help us.
Lord, touch.
There's a song we sing in the prison. I'm going to sing it while you're praying. The song says, help.
Oh, God, touch tonight. Lord, touch.
I never thought I needed help before.
We pray in Jesus.
I never thought I needed help before.
By your Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, touch
for
the
bottom.
Help us,
oh
my God, to search our hearts.
God's dealing with your heart.
Search our hearts, oh my God.
Help me smile. Another smile.